Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. My God, my God. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just thank you once more and again for allowing us to yet to see another day. But Father God, continue. We just thank you for your continued blessings and your glory that you've stored upon us, Father God. We just give you all honor and all glory, Father God. We just thank you. We ask your blessings over this word that you have put in my heart to give to these your people, Father God, that someone will receive and be able to go forth. For us in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you. You may be seated. Amen. 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 You know, for a couple of weeks now, it's longer than that, actually. For a year or so now, God has been has placed this message in my heart. And how many of you know that when you're struggling to do some things, you're trying to do, make some decisions, and when you're with God and you're trying to, you talk to God and you, and God, he listens to you and he's waiting on you, and finally, you know, God says, make a decision. You know, so many times God, he'll listen to you. Now he'll spend time with you, he'll let you talk to him, and he'll hear what you got to say. And he will evaluate what you're saying, and then he'll give you a direction. And then we'll say, well, you know what, Lord? Well, maybe not. Maybe I shouldn't do that, Lord. Maybe I should. And so finally, how many of y'all know that God get tired of it? And he'll say, make a decision. Make a decision. Turn to your neighbor and say, make a decision. Turn to your other neighbor and say, make a decision. All right, y'all ain't saying it right. Y'all not saying it right. All right, so I'm gonna put some spin on it then. Okay, those of you that are married, turn to your spouse when you have asked him to do or she had to do the certain thing and they haven't done it yet, and you tired of it, turn to them and say, make a decision. Sit down, wife. Sit down, wife. I thought that might get you going a little bit. Make a decision, you know. We're going to give you quite a few scriptures. And let's start with Deuteronomy 31 and 8. Let's put some eyes on so we can see what's going on here. I tell people I don't wear glasses. I just use them to read sometimes. All right. Deuteronomy 31 and 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You know, this was Moses used this to address the Israelites when he knew his time was coming to an end in leading them. Psalms 23 and 4. And I don't know if I may have a different version, but let's read it. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Second Timothy 1 and 7. For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but the power of love and self-control. I'm going somewhere with this now. Proverbs 29 and 25. Proverbs 29 and 25 says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. All right. Let's move on to Proverbs 3 and 6, in which it states, in all your ways submit to him, and he will direct your path. Once again, make a decision. One of the things that I realize is that there are two kinds of decisions. There's a faith decision and a fear decision. See, we make decisions based on faith or based on fear. You know, it's time frame is leaving me now because it's some years ago now. It's been almost 2 years ago. I was in the hospital, and I know you guys have heard my little testimony so many times, you're sick of it. But I was in the hospital and had to make some decisions. You know, how many of you know that when you have back surgery, have fractures in your back, you have to have back surgery, and as they do the test to check your back, check the breaks in your back, they discover that you got multiple myeloma cancer. All this stuff comes about. And then you have surgery that lasts 11 hours, and you have a blood clot in one leg and a blood clot in both lungs, and you're bleeding out. Somebody got to make a decision. You know, my story. So even after you come through all of that, you wake up and you got a breathing tube in your mouth, you don't know what's going on, and all you can do is pray. Somebody got to make a decision. And so even weeks later, you end up having to have a bone marrow transplant. What a year. And you start to think, all right, Lord, I don't know if I want to go through all this. Because somebody got to make a decision. Amen. God is, you know, and I remember one night in particular, I was laying there in the hospital. And God started to talk to me. And he was telling me, I was like, Lord, I don't know if I want to go forth with this next stage. And he said, just as clear as day as I'm talking to you, he said, Ernest, most of your life you made decisions based on fear. And I was like, you know, sometimes when you talk to God, see, well, I don't know how you talk, but I talk to God. I'm like, no, Lord, that ain't right. That ain't right. No. That's how I do now. I don't know what your faith level is. But that's how I talk to God. No, Lord, I made this decision. I done this. And I start, you know, start analyzing what you've done over the years, you know. And God says, you know what, let me explain it to you. And God knows me better than I know myself. So one of the things that he'll do is he'll give you an example that touches home. And, you know, most people that know me know I'm a sports fanatic. I love sports, specifically basketball. And so God said, let me talk to you where you live. God said, he took me all the way back to the seventh grade. This is one night. This is a true testimony, I'm telling you. God said, remember when you wanted to play basketball in the seventh grade? He said, now, you were so excited that you made the basketball team, and all you ever wanted to do was play the guard position. You want to be a guard because the guard is the person that handles basketball. This is not a basketball clinic or anything like that. The guard is the one that majority of the time handles the basketball, makes the decisions, shoots from the outside most of the time. And, you know, I was like, yes, Lord, I do. He said, you were excited because you told your mom, you know, I'm going to play the guard position. Well, when it came down time and you made the team and we were learning plays, and I noticed that most of the guards didn't know the plays, and the coach started fussing at them. And he started going off, you know, you need to know what's going on, what have you. So now it's my turn to stand up and be the guard. Well, I decided at that point in time, because of fear, I didn't want an embarrassment, I didn't want to be fussed at, I changed my position. I wasn't going to be a guard, I was going to be a forward. Okay? Because I didn't want to get fussed at. All right? That's what we do. Come on. You know, so I changed my position. And this is what the Lord is telling me now. He said, you changed your position. He said, we had talked about this. You had prayed about this. And then you were going to be the guard on the team, and then you decided you want to be the forward because of fear. Fear decision. My God. Everybody, say again, make a decision. So as God continued this night to talk to me, I don't know how long this went on. It was in the course of a night, and I was laying in the bed, and he was talking to me. And actually, my wife, Delina, she was sleeping in the chair next to me. And, you know, and I remember just like it was yesterday. He kept talking. He was like, so you made a decision. You changed your position. He said, what you didn't realize is that when you, what I had prepared for you, I had prepared a plan for you. Jesus. For that position. Wow. He said it was a plan of hard work, success, and awards. He said, I had things set up for you. I had already aligned everything for you. But you changed your position. And I was like, Lord, what are you saying? I said, are you saying that I'm out of place now? He said, son, let me tell you this. You're where I want you to be now. But it didn't have to be this hard. I was like, oh. I said, okay, Lord. And he kept talking. He wouldn't stop. For whatever, you ever notice when God got you, he don't stop talking. You know, we won't say, all right, I had enough, I got it. Mm-mm. It keeps going, he keeps going and going. And God said, not only did you change your position, and you change, when you change position, you change the plan I had for you. Wow. See, that one got me. When he said, when you change positions, you change the plan that I had for your life. Wow. And he said again, he says, look now, you are where I want you to be now. He kept stressing it, now. But it didn't have to be that hard. Okay? So as he continued to talk to me, God went on. He said, you changed your position. He changed the plans that I had for you. He said, now, I need you to understand something else. By you changing positions, going from a guard to a forward, you changed the position of some other people. I was like, what you mean, Lord? He said, because see, the plan I had for you was not only going to be successful for you, it was going to be successful for other people in other positions. Wow. But because you were out of position, wow, you knocked other people out of position. Lord. Man, oh man, oh man, oh man. Wow. So in plain terms, not only did I mess it up for me, I messed it up for somebody else. Simply because I changed positions. All I saw was, I'm playing basketball, I don't want to get embarrassed, I'm still playing, you know, and I analyzed my little career, you know, I thought I was good, I thought I was this and that. God said, that's nothing. That's nothing to compare to what you should have been. That's nothing. No, Brother Agel and I was talking about basketball this morning, and I said, made the statement, I said, I actually was better than I thought I was, you know, because God said, it ain't about basketball. It's about what you can do for me through what I gave you to do. That's what it's about. It ain't about a game. That's what we got to understand in life. It ain't about us. And we got to understand that when we make decisions, it not only changes or affects your life, but it affects other people's lives. That's what God was telling me. And that thing got me. Oh, man, I'm laying there, and I'm like, Lord, have mercy. I said, I'm thinking what I need to do. What should I? He said, because when you make a decision out of fear, it changes the end result. You know, I'm need to get my notes now because I won't miss nothing. I won't mess it up. He talked about, he said, now, bad decisions, what they do is they hurt people. People get hurt from bad decisions. Don't go to it, but Proverbs 11:14, if you want to check it out. Bad decisions affect relationships. They break relationships. That's Proverbs 13:10. We don't need to pull that one up, but I want you to know them. It also creates unintentional consequences. It also provides, you know, it will change good intentions. Now, I had good intentions. I want you to understand, I had good intentions. But because I operated out of fear, I changed the course, not only the course of what plans God had for me, but what plans it had for other people. Now, we got to understand there are two types of decisions. There are faith decisions and there are fear decisions. Now, I'm going to tell you now, God can use fear to his advantage. Now, I know you, the scriptures say, you know, fear is not of God. But God, that's not of God, but he can use it to his advantage. You know, if you are a police officer today and you walk into a situation where it's dark around the corner, you know you're supposed to be chasing a suspect, everybody with good sense got fear. So that fear may cause me to be more alert. That's right. That fear may cause me to, hey, look, I need some backup. Okay? You know, those are those decisions that we got to make. You know, fear decisions versus faith decisions. You know, we got to make a choice. Amen. And I don't want to get off track, but even when we're dealing with our children, especially when we're dealing with our children, When they're young, we make decisions. You know, we have a tendency to tell them, you know, the baby's sitting there, you're like, I sure be glad when she learned how to talk. I sure be glad when he learned how to talk. And then they start talking. My God, my God. I got to tell this one. We was with my granddaughter last week. And we were in the mountains. And we had gone to a store. And my son was driving. We go into the store. And Camellia, Camellia said, Daddy, why you pulling this park? Camellia's four. Daddy, why you pulling up this to this store? Why you parking right here? Daddy, what are we going to the store for? Daddy, just one behind the other. Camellia kept asking questions. And my son, who's similar to his daddy, just be quiet. Just be quiet. And so I got out. I was on the passenger side. I got out, and I went to get Camellia out of the car seat. She usually wants her daddy, but this time she got out. And Camellia's standing in the back of the car, hands folded. And I opened the door. And I said, come on, baby. Rude, rude, rude. Adults are so rude, they don't want kids to talk. Rude, rude, rude. She said it. It wasn't necessarily directed at me, but she said it because she was mad because her daddy told her to be quiet. They don't ever want kids to talk. I said, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Decisions. We want them to talk, but we don't want them to talk. And the thing with children is they're going to call us out and who we are. They're going to call out what it is and everything that you teach them. So that's why we're getting back to decisions. We own the decisions. You know, and she's another example is, you know, I'm telling on myself now, it was time to go. I was ready to go. When I said, come on, baby, we're going to get in the car. And she went get in the car seat. Normally, she's going to be a little bit slower about doing it, but she get in the car, and my wife and my son are putting some extra stuff in the car, and I'm standing there, and I'm waiting. I said, wait a minute, baby. I said, you might not need to get in the car seat right now, because I think she called me Poppy. I think Poppy needs to go to the bathroom. Camellia looks at me. She says, Poppy, don't you know you're supposed to go to the bathroom before you get in the car? You don't need to wait. You're supposed to wait and go to the bathroom before you get in the car to go on trips. I said, all right, girl. Decisions. But she's using what she's been taught. She's using what she's been taught. And I could have very easily been mad or upset at her, but why? She's only doing what she's been taught. You know, and so as we go through life and we make decisions, I'm coming back, y'all. I'm coming back. I went off on a tangent there for a minute. We got to remember that the decisions that we make affect other people. We got to understand that decisions are critical. So how do we go about making decisions? All right. How do we go about making these decisions? All right. There are really six steps to making a decision. One of the steps is first to pray. As Christians, the first thing you should do is pray. Now, a lot of times we don't do that. You know, a lot of times we don't do that, and we'll just go in and jump into it. All right. The next thing is we need to turn away from distractions. You know, as we make decisions, as we sit around and we think about, we pray, and we get ready to make a decision, you know, It's hard to make a decision. You sitting in a crowd or you got a lot going on. And one of the things you got to do is tune out those distractions. That's that second part. Tune out those distractions when you're trying to make a decision. The next thing is, you know, seek godly advice. You know, God's been dealing with me with a decision, or actually two or three decisions here in the last couple of weeks. And it says seek out godly advice. So, you know, I reluctantly, and I say this because I said it to him, I called Pastor. And I said, told him what was going on. And he said, well, Ernest, why haven't you made a decision? I said, well, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready to make the, he said, why? Make that decision. He said, why? I said, see, this is why I didn't want to call you in the first place. Because I know you was going to tell me this. You just need to go ahead and do it. Make a decision. You know, and I told him, I said, that's why I ain't called you in the first place. Lord have mercy. Because I knew he was going to tell me, you know, seek godly advice. Amen. Now, when I say seek godly advice, does that mean you have to contact one of the ministers or contact pastor? No. No, when you're looking to seek godly advice, put my eyes back on, because I want to make sure I say what I wrote down here, is that you want to make sure that you have some, matter of fact, right now, let me ask this question. If you are in the process of getting ready to buy you a brand new car, I want everybody to think right now, who the first person you're going to talk to about it? Now, don't tell me. Keep it to yourself. Don't tell me. Anytime you make a decision, there should be one, two, three people that should come to mind that you're going to talk to about it before you make that decision. You know, automatic people say, well, hey, I'll call the pastor. Pastor's going to tell you, you know, hey, I don't buy a whole lot of cars. you know, how much it costs, I can't tell you. You should have some people in your life, some godly people in your life that you can go to about a certain situation. You know, I can't ask a banker. Well, I could ask a banker. I'm not going to go there. But if you are an alcoholic and you're thinking about stop drinking, why are you going to ask another alcoholic? Billy Bob drink just as much as you drink. Now, he might say, hey, look, that just means it's more for me. You know, that might be what he say. But we all should have godly counsel in our life. Somebody, a friend, an associate, somebody we can go to that's going to give us solid, godly advice. Amen. You know, and the truth about the matter is that decisions are already made prior to decision time coming up. Based on who you associate with. Based on who you associate with. You know, usually if a decision is being made, most people go to their spouse if they're married. If not, they'll talk to their pastor. If not, if they're not even associated with a pastor, then who they going to go to next? Their best friend. Now, if that best friend ain't living the right life, you about to get some serious advice. You about to get some advice that's going to be interesting. You know, once again, seek counsel from other people. And one of the things you want to do is you're going to have what we call the three must. Let's see. My input, here's the reason why you need to seek counsel. I'm sorry. I'm going to make sure I get my stuff together here. Here's the reason why you need to seek counsel from other people. First of all, we all have a tendency to think that we know everything ourselves. Because most of the time, when I said, I guarantee you, don't raise your hand, when I said you're getting ready to buy a car, who you ask, it was somebody here that said nobody. I asked myself. I'm the one paying for it. Well, I got to ask somebody else what they think. You know, they may have already known somebody that purchased a car like that, that had problems. They may know that financial rates right now are not a good time. They may just say, hey, man, you know, you got this bill, that bill, and that bill. Why are you going to spend all your money on a car? You don't need a car. But you know what? We ain't trying to hear that. Because you done made up your mind you're going to buy that car. Shoot. He or she can say whatever they want to say. Because that BMW 750, that's mine. I'm going to get that thing. In regards to the payments, it is $1,200 a month. I'm going to get it. Now, seek godly advice. So a lot of times, one, we don't want to know what somebody else say because we're scared of what they're going to say, just like what I said to pastor. that's why I didn't ask you in the first place because I knew what you were going to say. You were going to say, go ahead and do it. What you waiting on? You know, seek godly advice. Once again, make sure that we understand that, like I said, the six steps to making a decision, we don't seek godly advice. We want to make sure that advice is from somebody who is godly. Okay? All right? That's the key. That's the key to everything I've said. Make sure that advice is coming from some sound person. not some insane person, a sound person, you know, because we know, now all of us know some crazy people. I got a couple buds that will tell you that I'm crazy, but all of us know that when it, but when something go down, zing, zing, ding, my phone is ringing. Hey, man, look, this is what I'm trying to do. What you think? Well, what's your situation? You know, seek godly advice. You know, we got to have the right people in our corners so that we can get the right advice. Because once again, the decision is already made based on who you associate with. Because I asked you the question, who are those people in your life that you would go to for a decision? So if you got the right people surrounding you, you know, it's kind of like with any job, you know, you can't make a decision on an island. That's how I look at it. With my job, we have to make a lot of decisions throughout the course of a day. And it's important that you kind of get input from everybody else. Because the key thing is that Delana might see stuff from a different angle than I see it. You know, especially if you're in the middle of it. You're in the middle of it and stuff is going on, this. Yeah, we got to do something with this. This has to happen. That friend or that person you know, they are seeing it from a totally different angle. Well, did you realize that this and that was going on? No, I didn't see that. Because when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to see stuff that other stuff is going on. Amen. It's hard. You know, I'm talking from experience. You know, this is a conversation me and God had. You know, you got to be find someone that's going to give you wise decisions, help you make wise decisions. All right, so we're talking about seeking godly advice. All right, so the next part of that thing is that you want to make sure you narrow down your choices. You say, what do you mean? All right, do I want the red car or do I want the blue car? Do I want the V8 or do I want the V6? All right, narrow down the choices because your buddy that drive all the time might say, look, you know that V8 gonna drink a lot of gas, man. So not only you get a new car payment, but you get a gas payment too. And gas, last time I checked, was $369 for a regular. Add that in. All you want is, look, I want my 750 BMW. That's all I want. I don't care how much gas costs. You know it's a V8, right? I don't care. Don't you work in Virginia? You got to drive every day? That's beside the point. Because, see, I'm making decisions now. I already made my decision. But you seek godly advice. That friend is telling you everything. You know? Not only that friend, but then the wife said, you know, we do have a house payment we got to make every month. That's going to cut into that. You plan on eating this month? That's going to cut into that. You know, the kid, you know, you got one kid in college. Somebody got to pay for that, right? That BMW is not going to pay for it. But I can drive up there and see him. Godly counsel. You know, narrowing down the choices. Should I get a VA? If I've already decided I'm going to do this or that, let's narrow the choices before we decide. That's your third, your fourth option right there, fourth thing in making decisions. Remember, pray, tune out the distractions, seek godly advice, which is major. Narrow down your choices. And then once you do that, now we say narrow down choices, James 4:1, that's one of the scriptures that we talk about narrowing down choices. We don't have to put that up. The next thing we got to make sure that we do is, this is important now when you're making a decision. You got to do something. Do something. Come on. A lot of times we start to make decisions and whatever, and we say, well, the Lord going to work it out. It's going to happen. You got to do something. Come on. See, God bless you as you ask him and as you do. You know, he'll bless you in what you're supposed to be doing as long as it's what is in the will of God. You have to do something. A lot of times we have a tendency to pray about it, read our scripture, which is what we're supposed to, seek godly counsel. Yeah, well, I decided I'm not going to get the red one. I'm going to get the gray one. Okay. Now comes a point where you got to do something. You got to do something. You got to walk up there and make that payment, go up there and fill out the paperwork, Go up there and talk to somebody. Tell them this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to get this car. Now, as you think about that thing, see, that's a process. Because when you start to do something, that decision might start to change when you start looking at those numbers. You start looking at those numbers, then you start looking at your bank account. You start looking at those numbers, then you start looking at your monthly. Whoa, man, that's going to, I might have, for me, what would cut me open is I might have to cut my cable off. What in the world? I'm like, what in the world? I can't watch the game. No, that we ain't getting that. We ain't getting that. I can eat hot dogs and potato chips. But don't make me have to not miss the NBA championships or March Madness. I'm upset now. We got a problem. That's a situation. That's a situation. We got to deal with that. So you got to do something. As you're doing something, as you're making these difficult decisions, you know, you continue to trust in the Lord. But you also got, we got to listen.
Come on.
You know, now I'm going to go back a step. When we talked about godly counsel, one of the problems with godly counsel is that we might listen to hear godly counsel, but do we listen? Mm-hmm. A lot of times we don't listen. Like I was talking about that friend talking about, hey, man, you driving Virginia, you know, BMW. V8, a lot of gas being spent. This going on with it. All right, man, I hear you. All right, I got you. Cause we ain't trying to hear that. Cause we've already made our mind up what we want to do. We've already decided. That's why we don't want to ask godly counsel. You know, like I use myself, as Pastor always say, can't talk about you, I can talk about me. That day I was driving to work, talking to Pastor on the phone, and I was telling him what the situation was, and he said, well, Ernest, why you ain't done nothing yet? I said, see, Pastor, that's why I didn't want to talk to you. I said it twice. I said it to him two times. So, Pastor, that's why I didn't want to tell you before, because I knew what you were going to say. Well, Ernest, you need to go ahead and do something. Make a decision. You know, a lot of times, and I talk about us men, a lot of times men will get to a point, you know, wives will be wives, you know. We recently had a lot of work on our house, and we had some guy working on the house, and my wife was like, "What? That ain't right. This ain't right. That need to be fixed. That need to be done." I'm like, "Look, it's all right. I think we can work with this. We can think." No. At some point in time, you're gonna have to make a decision. Are we gonna get it done, or we not gonna get it done? You know, a lot of times as men, we say, "Well, we can wait another month. It'll be all right." We can go in a couple of weeks and it'll be straight. You know, well, it only affects us in the summertime, so when it get wintertime, it ain't gonna be a problem. You know, different perspectives. And the wife is like, no, you need to make a decision. This need to happen now. We ain't got time to be waiting on you to decide and what have you. Now here's where communication comes in. You may know something that she doesn't know. Or she may know something that he doesn't know. And by communicating the fact that, you know what, I have a person in mind that's going to fix this, but he can't do it until this time. Well, if you had communicated that in your decision process, then she would know, okay, he's working on it. I ain't got to keep worrying about it. I just got to let it go. Now, I'm going to tell you, in a month, if he ain't got there, start working on it. What's getting ready to happen? We're getting ready to start that process over again. What happened to your boy? Thought he was coming. He's supposed to know how to do this. Why he ain't doing it? What day he tell you he was coming? How much he gonna charge you? Now, his price is too high. We might as well went with so-and-so. Come on now. What you doing? Make a decision. That's where we are. Make a decision. All right? I talked about the godly counsel. I told you. We talked about, let's go back to the steps. Pray. Tune out the distractions, seek godly counsel, narrow down the choices. And when you narrow the choices, it helps you decide what's best. You got to decide what can I live with and what I can't live with, okay? We also talk about you got to do something, all right? You got to do something. You know, God will tell us to wait and pray and what have you, but God's going to tell you eventually what to do. He's gonna show you. But you got to be in the right mindset to receive it. Just like with that friend, that godly counsel that you ask about, God's going to give you but you got to be able to hear it. You got to be able to hear it. You got to put yourself in position to hear what God is saying to you. You know, sometimes he makes it so obvious everywhere you turn. You know, I go back to a decision I had to make. Some of you know I was a high school principal. I was a middle school principal in another district, and the local high school principal decided to leave and go to another district. And when I went to a basketball game, somebody said, well, you know, the principal's leaving. You do that, right? You think about coming this way? I said, no, I'm not. I'm good where I am. Thank you. I appreciate you. I left there. 2 days later, I went to the gym. I'm exercising. The lady came out. She said, hey, Mr. Cool, how you doing? Do you realize that the high school principal left? I was like, oh, okay, I heard about that. Okay, you plan on applying for the job? I said, no, I don't think that's my cup of tea. Go home. About 2 weeks later, a friend who does not teach in the school system called me on the phone and said, look, man, I heard that the high school principal over there left. You think you're interested in that? I said, what in the world? Is this a conspiracy? What's going on? I said, well, I don't know now. You know, my opinion has changed now. I don't know. And then yet again, and then, you know, pastor's always speaking into my life for the last, I don't know how many years, 20 years or so. He's like, promotion is coming. Promotion is coming. He's speaking from the pulpit. Promotion is coming. I'm like, Lord Jesus, what is going on here? And before I could get out that door, somebody else had asked me, so I hear you applying for the job at the high school. I didn't tell anybody that. But that's God. God, look, God's like, how many times I got to tell you? You know, this was a couple years, some years back. How many times I got to tell you? So what I do, I went on and made that decision. Took that job, and that job preparing me for the next job. And so, and that's the other thing we got to do. You know, God, he doesn't show us all the steps. You know, as we making these decisions, we only see things one way. All we know is what we know, okay? And so the position or the decision that you make leads you to the next decision. And then it leads you to the next decision. And it eventually leads you to where God wants you to be. Okay? So that's why it's important to make sure you do something. And then the last part of that thing is that you got to thank God for the answer. So many times we just jump on it, go ahead and do what we got to do and get out of the way. Oh, I did it. All right, I got my new car. I'm good to go. You know what? That new car might not be the blessing that you thought it was supposed to be, because you thought that new car was for you to profile around in and, you know, clean up on every Saturday and make sure the tires are armor all on them and cleaned out, and you look sharp when you go to church on Sunday, if you go that Sunday, because you got a new car, you might go somewhere else. You know, but it might be because you're supposed to go pick up Brother So-and-so and take him to church every Sunday and let him ride around and profile with you. It might be because they need you to take food to the homeless or food to somebody that don't have any food. You know, once again, thank God for the answer. Now, because the decision that you make is not your own. That's some deep words, right? The decision that you make is not your own. All right, I'm going to give you 3 musts when you're making decisions, okay? The 3 musts. Let me make sure I get them right here. I must be willing to seek input from others. Don't make decisions on the island. Why don't we want to do that? Why don't we listen to people? Because we don't want to wait. We don't need anybody's advice. We don't have time. And that's a big one right there. A lot of times we make a decision in a hurry because we don't feel like we have time. You know, I got to make the decision quick. A lot of times quick decisions are wrong decisions. Please make sure you remember that. A lot of times quick decisions are wrong decisions. One of the things we must be is we must be teachable and listen to the input. If you're going to ask somebody for their advice, at least be ready to listen. You know, have that in your mind. Have that in your heart that this is what I'm supposed to do. Remember that whenever we decide to firmly honor God through our decisions, God will make it possible to succeed. He will grant us favor and will make a way for us. I'm going to read that again. Whenever we decide to firmly honor God through our decisions. Did you know your decisions can honor God or dishonor God? And I use the example of a car, but that's something everybody can relate to. That can be in a relationship. That could be on your job. That could be anything. You know, whenever we decide to firmly honor God through our decisions, an example, you know, God will make it possible to succeed. He will grant us favor and will make a way for us. That's extremely important. I talked to you, I said there were two decisions. There's faith decisions and fear decisions. You know, I talked about, gave the example of how, you know, when I played sports, when I played basketball, how I changed my position out of fear. Had I had faith in God, who knows what would have happened? Because God told me that night. He said, I had blessings for you. I had rewards for you. It was hard work, but I had it for you. But when you change your position, you changed my plan for you. Not only did I change his plan, but I also changed the plan for somebody else. That's the part that blew me away. That's the one that took me to another place that I had never seen or hadn't even thought about. You know, because as I was in the hospital, I was making decisions. I had to make decisions. My wife made a lot of decisions for me because technically I really wasn't in it. My mind wasn't there, you know, under all these medications and stuff. So I really wasn't at a point where I could make a lot of decisions. But I came to a point where, you know, when they wanted me to have the bone marrow transplant. And so I told the doctor, you know, that I said, they checked my blood and everything and said, well, look, your blood is negative. You don't have any traces of the cancer left. So that's a no-brainer for me. I don't have to ask no more questions. Why I got to do anything else then? Just check me out. I'm ready. You know, another part of that thing was the doctor came and asked, I told my wife, I said, bring me some shorts, some long shorts, and bring me some of those long pants, those sweatpants that you wear that are real thin that people sometimes sleep in or whatever. And so I know she thought I was crazy when I said that, but, you know, so I slept in it. And so every time the doctor came, the doctor was, you fully dressed. You know, I had my shirt on, my shoes on, every day. He said, you plan on going somewhere? I said, as soon as you let me out here, yeah, I'm going home. And that was me. That was my mindset. It was like, look, I got somewhere to go. And like, where you going? To the house, you know, where I got to go. So the mindset. So as I began to make decisions, I thought, thinking about, there's no need for me to go back and have any bone marrow transplant. I said, you're trying to put me in some undue stress for no reason, you know. And the lady finally explained to us that this is part of the procedure. You get to this point, now you can do this bone marrow. This this helps you further on. And I spoke to my wife. I was like, look, I don't see why we got to do this. This don't make sense. They go that decision. I'm getting ready to make a decision now. You know, look, this is crazy. Why? I mean, I didn't been in the hospital all this time. Now, I don't need nothing else. You know, you faith decision or fear decision. I had to analyze myself. Because when I began to think about what decision I was about to make, I realized it was more out of fear than faith. Because we'll play with that thing. We'll say, well, God's going to keep me. He's always kept me. But see, he makes doctors. He makes lawyers. He makes judges. And he gives them the knowledge that he has, that he needs for them to know. And he allows them to inform you. Okay? Now, a miracle cancels out all of that. All right? A miracle will take care of all of that. Because God's got that. He does that. But he also makes you understand that at this point in time, this is what I need you to do. And so it came down to a decision. Well, am I going to get the bone marrow transplant? And let me tell you the fear factor. Because it was explained to me. See, if they hadn't explained it to me, I probably would have been like, all right, cool, fine. Well, the way they do it now is they give you some medication. Bone marrow is in your bone. So all I'm thinking is that y'all won't cut into my bones. All right? She said, no, we don't do that anymore. Okay, fine. But what we do is we give you this medication where you got to take these shots. You take these shots and makes your body produce more bone marrow. Well, how are you going to get out of the bone? Well, as it produces more, it starts to leak out or secrete or come from the bone. All right? So that's within your body. And then we'll pull it from your blood. Okay, that didn't sound too good, but don't sound real painful. You know, but I had to get 4 or 6 shots in the stomach. What was it, 2 a day? Something like that. Every morning. And it helps to have somebody that's in the medical field to help, because the lady was asking me if I was going to give them to myself. I was like, look, I don't think that's going to happen, you know. But in my stomach, I took the shots. Well, something they failed to tell me was that one morning I had taken my shots and I began to walk and my legs were getting weaker and weaker. And I was like, I was stumbling. I was like, oh, man, the back surgery didn't take. Something's going on. I'm aching. Something's not right. You know, I told my wife, I said, my legs are aching some today, but I think I'll be all right. And talked to my wife, the medical professional. Then I called my boy, called my buddy, called Chris. And, you know, it says seek godly counsel. You have to know Chris. Chris said, well, man, I was in the bed. He said, well, first thing you need to do is get up. I said, my legs hurt, man. Get up and walk around. I was like, wait a minute. I look at the phone, like, who did I call? You know? this my buddy, as y'all say, running partner. It used to be way back in the day. He giving me good advice. He said, you need to get up, drink some water, eat something, and walk. Just walk around the house. You need to exercise. You need to move. Later on, after we found out, the doctor failed to tell us that that's results of the medicine. It causes your legs to ache, and you need to exercise, and you need to drink water. And I'm like, what in the world? Coming from somewhere that I didn't expect it to come from, but God laid him on my heart, so I called him, you know? And so this whole process, and I know I'm going long here, but this whole process was a matter of, so once they get the bone marrow into your body or what have you, or increase the bone marrow, then you got to go to the hospital and they have to take all your blood out. I say all of it. I'm literally laying on the bed. The machine is putting the blood in. It's taking the blood out on this side. And they're removing it. Then once they get the blood, they remove the bone marrow, because this is what they call auto transplant. So I'm using my own bone marrow. I'm not using somebody else's. So they got to take it out of my blood. And they end up taking it out of my blood. And I'm sitting there for a couple of hours, and my son is sitting there with me, and he's like, you doing all right? Yes, I'm fine. But the process, when they started explaining the process to me, he goes factors into my decision. You got to eliminate choices, right? I'm like, look, they started telling me all this stuff. I said, I see why they didn't tell me this. Because I was like, this don't make any sense. That's just the beginning of the process. Anyway, so I went through all that stuff, and I ended up going into the hospital. And then they hit you with another dose of chemo, what they call old chemo, old school chemo, the kind that knock your hair out and do all the other kind of stuff. They got some easier stuff now, and we did all that kind of stuff. I told my wife, I said, see, this is why I didn't want to do this, because I didn't want to go through this process. But the decision that I was making was based on fear, not on faith. And then I had to realize. And then my wife, and I'm tell you, all right, married man, got a good wife. Come on now, Ernest, now you know you got to, you know you need to, and come on now, you got to trust in God. You got to make sure I know God. We had this discussion. She and I said, I know God. Walking down the hallway in the hospital. And I know I made her mad. She made me mad too. There we were, two Christian, two ministers in the hallway having a loud discussion. I tell too much, don't I? You know, this is usually the only time I talk when I get up here, so it get it all when I'm talking. But we had that discussion. I said, I know God. You know, I'm getting discouraged because I see people come and people go. I done been here 21 days in the hospital, and people have came and left that had the same treatment I had. Why am I still here? That was what I was saying. I'm mad now. People come smiling in my face, telling me, you know, you all right, you're doing good, you look good. I don't look that good because I'm still here. Somebody tell me something. I'm frustrated, you know. Now I'm mad at the decision that I made. I said, I made this decision. Come on, Lord. You know, I know y'all don't get mad with God. I get upset with him. You know, Lord, come on, Lord. Now, come on now. I read my Bible. I pray. I study. I do this. I'm still here. These people, they don't like they go to church. This real stuff. That's how I think. I said, they don't look like they go to church. And no, I'm still here. God says, look, it's a process. Follow the process. Trust in me. Keep the faith. Faith decision versus a fear decision. Because that fear decision would have had me leaving that place. As a matter of fact, I did. See? As a matter of fact, I did. Lady said, you feel awesome, I'm feeling fine. You feel, how you feel? I feel fine. I'm just talking real fast. I said, I feel fine. You know, she said, well, we're going to dismiss you. We're going to let you out today. But if your temperature go up, we had an apartment there. We were at Duke at the hospital. And we had an apartment in Durham. And anyway, so I got out. My wife, she said, you sure you doing all right? I'm fine. I'm fine. Keep driving. I'm fine. You know, I know I felt a little different. We got to the, she went to the store or something to pick up some stuff. We went to the apartment. And I said, I'm gonna go lay down. She said, you all right? You want something to eat? I said, no, I want nothing to eat. I'm all right. And she kept looking. She said, well, I need to check your temperature. I had a temperature of 102. And all kind of stuff going on anyway. So she calls the hospital. They say, bring him right back. I've been out 2 hours. I was free for 2 hours. I know you don't want to go, but we got to go. She drives me right back down to the hospital, which is like 10 minutes from the apartment. God. And I'm sitting there, and they rolled me back in the hospital. I'm just as mad as all can get out. That's the only way to describe it. You know, and I'm mad at my decision, my initial decision. I'm mad at the decision to come back. I'm like, God's like, just have faith. You all right. Now I stayed in there another, I don't know how many days, 10 more days. I was like, you know what? That's all right. I'm just going to, you know what, God? I'm just going to do what you tell me to do. And I'm just going to walk according to your will. See, decisions. This whole conversation, well, this whole thing was about faith decisions versus fear decisions. That's why I had to share that with you. I made some fear decisions. Then I had to make some faith decisions. All right? When you make a faith decision, God's going to work it out for you.
Right.
Seek godly counsel. I mean, I had doctors all around me, had my wife, you know, had all kinds of advice. And then I had to, you know, limit the choices. I had to say, okay, well, I can do this. Because they'll tell you, well, you can do this and you can do that and you can leave on your own or you can do this. And, you know, I had to eliminate those choices. Once I was able to go through all that, once I was able to decide, I had to do something. The something I had to do was stay in that hospital, as annoying as it was. I did. And then once we finally came through, sometime in July, I finally got out. I just thank God.
Amen.
I thank God for what was going on. I said, I thank you for taking me through.
Amen.
Thank you for taking me through. You got to praise him during the process.
Yes.
You know, I thank him for taking me through. You know, I mean, you know, I'm not any better than any of you. You know, I'm not any more deserving of a blessing than you are. You know, God, he gave me that testimony as I lay there in that bed and as he continued to show me what kind of decisions I had been making or I had made most of my life. He says, you make decisions out of fear too much. He said, you make decisions out of fear because of what you think might happen. And we'll talk ourselves into something now. We will talk ourselves into it. You know, well, you know what? I like Johnny, but Billy got the better job. You know, and Billy, he do this, he do that, and whatever. But Johnny looks so good. You know, what does God say?
Amen.
What is God telling you?
Amen.
What is your God? And godly counsel, once again, I want to stress that. Godly counsel can be that friend that knows God's word, or God will place a person in your mind.
Come on.
God will place a person in your mind. Any kind of decision as it relates, and I tell you what, it also depends on what situation you're going through. You know, what your decision is about. That's how that works. So we got to trust and believe in God in all that we do, no matter what's going on. So once again, when you make a decision, let's pray, tune out the distractions, seek godly advice. narrow down your choices, do something, and thank God for the answers. You know, today is it's third Sunday, and we're gonna go ahead and prepare for communion. If it's somebody out there that God is talking to you and he's telling you right now, you need to make a decision. Because that's what it's about. Man, we got so much killing going on in our area.
Amen.
It's ridiculous. Because somebody's making bad decisions.
Amen.
You know, even watching the news, it's all around us. The Norfolk area, the Virginia Beach area, whether it's Burgee County, Hereford County, it doesn't matter. All around us, people are getting killed and people are making bad decisions. And that's the thing. I dare to say those guys, gentlemen, that got killed on Friday, which is not far from my house, right down the street from my house, probably would be alive if they had made some godly decisions. Because we have to be intelligent in what we do. We have to be intelligent in what we're supposed to be doing. Make a decision, people. If God is asking you right now to make a decision about whether to accept him into your life, I'm telling you right now as a witness, you need to make that decision today.